and that was Blinded by the Light by Manfred Mann's Earth Band here on Indie's Giant 90.9. Currently on the phone, I have Kevin Calabro of the Class of 74. How you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing spectacular. Best to you and Trey, you and Landon this afternoon. I guess it's afternoon out there, huh? Or it's late morning.
Yeah, it's late morning. But Big Nelly has some questions for you. Go ahead, Nelly.
All right.
Well, you threw me on the spot there, Trey. Hi, Mr. Cloud. It was a pleasure to talk to you. He's also, folks, the voice of the Portland Trailblazers, so I want to throw that out there. But how are you doing today, sir?
Well, I'm doing great. You know, the sun is shining here in the Great Northwest, Landon, which is this time of year is kind of a 50-50 proposition. So we're going to take it as we can get it.
Yes, sir. On my bucket list of states to visit is Oregon and Washington, and go up to the northwest part of the United States, see Mount St. Helena and all the beautiful Northwest has to offer. My question for you, sir, is what has been your favorite moment of being the voice of the Portland Trailblazers?
Well, you know, my favorite moment, I think, is just being around the organization, being around the coaches. You know, we've got a Hall of Fame coach, and Chauncey Phillips now is our coach. And I remember when Chauncey was playing, of course, for the Detroit Pistons, and you Indiana Pacer fans probably remember the exploits of Chauncey and the Pistons, you know, that winning the championship and him being named the MVP. So it's, you know, it's being around guys like that, classy guys like that, who really know the game extremely well. And then, of course, Damian Lillard.
Being
around Damian Lillard, the all-time leading scorer in the history of the Portland Trailblazers, and, you know, one of the great scorers, I think, and great shooters of all time that we've seen in the NBA. So it's just, I think it's, you know, it's the people. Being around the people and traveling the country and getting a chance to see other parts of the country, that's always been pretty intriguing to me. You know, being a kid that grew up on the west side of Indianapolis, not even 3 miles away from where you guys are right now in the studio. I grew up there in Chapel Hill, and so always, you know, dreamt of going to the West Coast, working on the West Coast, seeing the country and doing NBA basketball. So it's every day that I do a game, and I've been doing them a long time. I've been doing this about 40 years, but I'll tell you, every game I do, I'm really thankful for the opportunity to be doing a game and doing what I really love to do professionally.
Well, that's awesome, Mr. Calabro. Well, sitting in the studio as well, we have Garrett Burkle, one of the biggest Purdue and Pacers fans that I know, and he has a few questions for you, Mr. Calabro.
Yeah, hello. Hello, Mr. Calabro. Good morning, and I just was wondering, you know, a program like this, what did this do for your career overall?
The Ben Davis program
was
spectacular. And I'll tell you why, is because we had great teachers there. Dana Webb, Bill Wakefield, Bob Berry did a lot of our television stuff there. But they were, Dave Dunn was the guy that was there when I first got to WBDG, and Dave was just fantastic in the way that he handled the students and managed the radio station. And these guys were really thankless. I mean, they would stay there late at night after teaching a full day, and you know, until sign off around 6 o'clock, as I recall. They would allow us to experiment, do things on the air, and just have fun. I think that was kind of the edict. That was the message we got from these guys. Just be yourself, have fun on the air, and, you know, really broaden what you want to do. They would have us engineer. They would have us, you know, sweep the radio station. They'd have us edit copy. They'd have us write news. They would have us catalog music. They got us into areas where we thought, you know, we'd never really want to go. And I think for that reason, we had a lot of students that came out of there with a real broad knowledge of radio and television and how it's supposed to work. And then by the time we got to college, or by the time we went to trade school, whatever it might be, or just went right into working at a radio station, you know, working weekends, doing whatever we could do, we had a real understanding of what was going on. I know Dana Webb he helped me get a job at WATI 810 AM. It no longer exists, but it was over there on Hannah Avenue. And he helped me get a job working weekends. And if I hadn't had that job, you know, I it would have set me back several years in terms of my development on the air and working in radio and television. You know, and I'd go over there and I'd work Sunday mornings. I'd play the church tapes. They were half-hour tapes that churches would pay and would sponsor on the air. And I would sign the radio station on Sunday mornings at 6 a.m. I worked till about noon. And I think I was making $2.15 an hour, which at that time was big money. And it was a wonderful experience. And so I did that most of my senior year. And then by the time I got to Butler University, while I had a pretty good understanding of how commercial radio worked, the mechanics of it, and I was able to work odd jobs at various radio and TV stations at that point. So that's what the Ben Davis program meant to me, was the great teachers and the instructors that were there, that very rarely got any kind of praise or any kind of acknowledgement, but just did the work because they loved it and they were passing on some great knowledge to the students.
Well, that's awesome, Mr. Calabro. Again, that was Dave Calabro, class of 74. Garrett and Landon, you guys got anything to close out and one final thing to ask them?
I got a question. Depending on game to game, how much, the behind the scenes part of a broadcaster aspect, is how much prep work you put in. Say game to game, how much prep work are you putting in around?
Well, I'll put in about 2 hours a game. And what I do is I actually, for every game, hand draw a chart. So I've got a chart that I do by hand. And the new guys, younger guys that are proficient at the computer and are able to program, they can spit this stuff out instantaneously. But I'm one of those learners where I've got to be able to kind of write things down, write notes and so forth. So I'll have a couple of sheets of notes. I think the key thing is to keep it as simple as possible. A lot of guys, you can get into a lot of different stats, different minutia. The biggest thing is to have a few key points, a few key data points for each one of the players, a few stats that really stand out to you, because during the course of the game, you're not going to be able to use all of that information, nor should you try to use all that information. Some guys try to squeeze it all in to let people know, hey, I've done my homework, I know what I'm talking about here. Just let the game come to you would be, I think, my biggest instruction to young broadcasters, young play-by-play guys, and tell stories. People love to hear stories. Numbers are great. They do tell a story. But anecdotes, personal stories about the players, about who they are as people, who they've played for in the past, who they've teamed with, maybe a special game or two that they've had. That takes is a special talent as well. That's something you should always try to incorporate into your play-by-play. But usually it's a couple of hours that I'll spend. Sometimes I'll take it. If I'm unfamiliar with a team, particularly being here on the West Coast, there was an East Coast team that I have not seen on league pass, and I'll watch a good number of games. But honestly, when I have an off night, I sometimes just shut it down. I won't watch a game. But I will take a tape, and we're able to get all the games on a thing called Media Central, which is open to NBA media people only. And I can pull up any of those teams that I want, and I can see Chicago play Philadelphia, 2 nights ago, and kind of get an idea of who's playing and what they're doing and what they're trying to achieve and so forth. So it's I've always said it's not like working. I used to have a job back when I was working in high school. I used to be a stock boy over there across Holt Junior High School at the strip mall. And I can tell you, I would never want to go back and do that. I enjoy what I'm doing here with the play-by-play. So I've always said, this is not like a job. It's more like a passion that I have.
Hey, sir, it's Landon here. My next question is, once the hustle and bustle of the NBA season ends, what work do you do in the off season?
Nothing. Right now I'm looking at my yard, trying to think about what in the world I'm going to do with my yard. That's about it, to be honest with you. No, just what I do is catch up with my family. I've got four adult kids, and all of them live here in Seattle. I've got granddaughters 3 years old, and I make a point to see them as much as I can during the season, even though I'm down in Portland, which is 3 hours away, about 150, 160 miles away. But I catch up on my relationships and catch up on friends and just kind of work around the house. But professionally, I don't do anything in the summer. I'll do a couple of appearances and some charity golf tournaments and some charity work. But other than that, that's part of the beauty of the NBA season, is you get the summers off. And that's always been fun to me.
Also, sir, I have two more questions. What advice could you give to young broadcasters chasing their dreams of, you know, broadcasting the NBA or NFL, NASCAR, IndyCar? And my last question is, what is your favorite game that you have broadcasted for the Portland Trailblazers?
Two good questions. The first one, I would say, in order to get your foot in the door, just go do the work. You know, you've got now, young broadcasters have now a great tool. That is the phone, a cell phone, where you can tape yourself doing a game. And we used to do that with little cassette machines. When I was a butler, we'd go up in the stands and we'd find a place up in the stands. And there were always plenty of places at that time. Butler University basketball games weren't well attended, so there were plenty of seats available. But we'd go up there and we'd recreate the game. You know, we'd talk into the cassette recorder and we would actually do a game. You can do the same thing with a phone. Just sit there with a phone, do a quarter of men's or women's basketball, whatever it might be, or whatever sport you're interested in. If you're going out to the track and you're let's say on a practice day, you're going out to the track and you want to be an indie announcer, well, be an indie announcer. Do it on your phone. Record it. Play it back. You know what sounds good, what doesn't sound good. And try to sound like the guys that you're listening to professionally in your market. Mark Boyle is an extraordinary play-by-play guy. He's worked at the Indiana Pacers now close to 40 years. I knew Mark when they hired him back in 1986, I think it was. And listen to Mark Boyle. Listen to his cadence. Listen to what he does on the radio. Listen to Dave Calabro, my younger brother, when he's doing the PA announcements there at the Indy 500, and the way he works his voice and, you know, the way it rises and falls and stuff like that. I mean, listen to great pros and then try to copy what they're doing a little bit. And then pretty soon you'll come up with your own kind of your own patterns and your own technique and your own style. But that'd be, I think, the biggest advice that I would give to folks. And then just in terms of getting into a radio station, go find small radio stations, any radio station around Indianapolis for that matter. Go in there and ask them, you know, hey, you need somebody on the weekends to, you know, do whatever, to help out, fill in. One thing that my brother Dave did, I remember, was he used to take his cassette radio, cassette machine, out to the Indy 500, and he would roam around there in Gasoline Alley or around Gasoline Alley. I don't know how he got access. My brother was good at that. But he'd go in there and he'd interview drivers. You know, he's 15 years old. He's in there interviewing drivers, and we'd bring it back. They play it on WBDG. So, you know, that's the other thing is, you know, come up with a plan, be bold, and, you know, go out there and get after it. Because if you don't, it'll never happen for you. And then I guess the favorite game would be what we used to call the bye-bye 37-foot shot that Damian Lillard hit back on April 23rd, 2019, when they beat the Oklahoma City Thunder 118-115 in the Western Conference first round. It was game five, and it was an extraordinary shot. I mean, he didn't need to take the three-point shot. He had time on the clock as he walked it across midcourt, and then he just faced up on Paul George from, like I say, 37 feet out. I think Paul George was so shocked that he would take this shot. I mean, there was plenty of time on the clock. He could have driven into the lane, maybe drawn a foul, get a two-pointer, get the lead, that type of thing. But Lillard was so confident in his shot, he just came down, he pulled up and took a 37-footer, nothing but net, game over. You know, double zeros up on the clock, and everybody walked off. It was crazy. You know, we called it a walk-off three-point shot, and it put Russell Westbrook and the Oklahoma City Thunder out of business, and it actually changed the course of Oklahoma City when you think about it from 2019 when they're beaten in that first-round series to where they are now, completely retooling. None of those guys around on that basketball team anymore. I mean, Russell Westbrook's gone. Jeremy Grant was on that squad. Dennis Schroeder was on that squad.
Paul George
was on that squad. They're all gone, all moved on, and you see what they've replaced them with the young Oklahoma City team. It's
unfortunately, we lost Mr. Calabro's connection at that point. We do thank him for calling in, as he always does during the WBDG marathons. Appreciate the support of the Calabro family. Mr. Calabro and also his brother Dave Calabro as well are great supporters of the WBDG program. We always appreciate their willingness to help us out, call in and talk about their careers in media, talk about their careers here also at WBDG. Keep it tuned in to the WBDG 58 Marathon for more great content, interviews, and much more until Saturday at midnight.